It's time for Senior Talk with Carol Higgins Taylor, a show designed with seniors in mind. Carol discusses everything from Social Security to senior housing, medication to Medicare, and so much more. And now, your award-winning host, Carol Higgins Taylor.
Hi, and thank you for joining me today for this edition of Senior Talk. If you love children, this show is for you. We are discussing the Foster Grandparent Program. It is a wonderful program that makes a difference in the lives of children, but also in the lives of volunteers. My mother, if you're a regular listener, you're well acquainted with Marge. She has been a foster grandparent for 18 years and absolutely loves it. And she has the best stories to tell of the children that she's met. It's really completely enriched her life. My guest today are Maria Staples, longtime foster grandparent director and longtime friend of mine, even longer than the foster grandparent program. She's the director. She has this foster grandparent is administered through PENQUIS in this area. And Sonia Thibault, who is the foster grandparent program and senior companion director for the Opportunity Alliance, that's more south. Together, though, they pretty much cover the state. They're all over the place. Hi, Maria. Hi, Sonia. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for this opportunity.
I am happy to have you on. I love this program, Maria. You know how much I love this program. Anything that enriches seniors and then helps kids too, this is a win-win for everybody. So before we do get started on what it is, let's say up front what it isn't, because a long time ago, when mom started doing it, someone said, she's a foster grandparent. How old is the child? And I said, no, it's not foster parent. It's different. So explain that, Maria.
Yeah, sometimes the name can be deceiving, but we are the Foster Grandparent Program, which is part of AmeriCorps Seniors. And these are volunteers who serve in public and nonprofit settings. So it isn't the same as a foster parent where they are bringing the child into their home and raising them. They will always be in a public setting and always be supervised.
In a controlled environment. So what does, and both of you feel free to jump into this question, but what is the foster grandparent program? Give me the basics of what that means and what work you do.
Okay. So we are part of AmeriCorps Seniors, which is part of the National Service Corporation. And our volunteers are 55 years and older. They are considered a professional volunteer, whether a tutor or a mentor to children, again, in a public and nonprofit setting. We do consider them, as I said, a professional volunteer. And because of that, they are paid a small stipend and mileage. So they're really there to support children, to give them encouragement, to kind of be their cheerleader.
And these aren't necessarily, don't have to be young kids, right? Because mom worked at Job Corps and loved it. And I don't want to even call them kids now, but the children up through young adults that she worked with did great with her.
Absolutely. We serve children from birth to age 21.
That is good to know. So what do they, aside from mentoring, what do they do? Where do they do it?
So they so our volunteers actually go into the classroom and they can do one-on-one with the student, or they can do sort of group activities, reading, help with assignments. So aside from that, they really do impact their learning in the classroom.
That has to be very helpful for the teachers, I would think, as everyone is short-staffed and there's a lot of kids in the classes, and also the students who may need a little extra help with math, God knows I did, that they can have someone right there who can really help them through.
Absolutely.
Go ahead, Sonia, and then you, Maria.
Yeah, I think even post-COVID, I find that teachers are having a really challenging time trying to help students stay focused. And that's where the foster grandparents would come in and really be able to, if there's a child that was struggling, could really sit with them on one-on-one and give them that undivided attention. So I think it's really been helpful. I mean, obviously throughout the years, but I think even more so post-COVID.
Maria, go ahead.
At this point, I think at this point we're all craving, you know, connection, even though it has been years since COVID. We're still struggling with that and trying to find our way back. And our volunteers are some that shows up consistently. They're there, you know, to help the children. And as we said, they could be serving in a Head Start, a child care center, a public school, Job Corps, like your mom did. We've even had them in correctional facilities where they are helping, you know, juvenile offenders as young as 13 years old who may not ever have a visitor because of where their family is. So it really is an important role. And our teachers do report on impact assessments, the difference that they're making. Sonia and I both collect data on this. So we're able to show that what we're working on, both of our programs, is for the young children, it's school readiness. And for my volunteers, the supervisors reported that 90% of the children made gains in school readiness. And supervisors reported improvements in classroom behavior and social skills with peers and adults. And for our K-12 success group on impact assessments, there was 93% of the students who improved in their academic engagement. That's important. They're engaged because the volunteer is there. They know when the volunteer is not there. When your mom is at one of my in-service meetings and the kids know she's not there, they're going to ask her, where were you? And why did you have to go to that meeting? So it definitely is something that the impact is felt by both the students and by the teachers.
It is true, because she has said when she has done that and then she's gone back, they run to her, Grammy, where were you? We missed you. And it's just very sweet. We all have some adults in our lives that really impacted us as children. And I feel like these volunteers are doing that for these kids. And they may never know the impact that they've had and the difference they've made in these young lives. So what is the criteria to become, if someone's listening and thinking, I really want to do this, it sounds amazing. What's the criteria? Because there are some guidelines on who can become a foster grandparent.
Yes, they have to be 55 years or older. They have to live in the state of Maine, because as you mentioned, Sonia and I cover the entire state. They do have to meet our income guidelines to receive the stipend. And that's because, as I mentioned, being a professional volunteer, we don't want them to incur a cost. So we do a small stipend and we do mileage. It doesn't affect their benefits. They do have to undergo rigorous background checks. So both Sonia and I follow that right to the T. They have to have fingerprints, and they have to have DHS checks, and they have to have Maine motor vehicle checks, and all of that has to be cleared before they begin service with us. And then they have to complete our orientation, which, again, Sonia and I being in different agencies, we may do it a little bit differently, but all volunteers have to have 24 hours of orientation training before they're placed. So we don't just drop somebody, you know, into a site. We're there with them all the way. We stay in close contact with our stations and with our supervisors.
That's very comforting to think that they get so much training. I have a question about the stipend. So if someone's listening and they wouldn't be considered, I don't want to say low income, but they might be over your guideline. Can they still be a foster grandparent and just not take the stipend?
They can. AmeriCorps doesn't say that we can't bring them on as a volunteer. However, we look at that very carefully, because it could take away from someone that does qualify for volunteering and could benefit from that stipend. So we kind of weigh that very carefully.
Okay, that sounds good. I'm thinking of people who think, I don't want the money, I just really want to help the kids.
Yeah, and a lot of times we'll refer them to an RSVP program.
Okay, that sounds great. What is the training? There's a lot of training. What if someone gets into the training and decides that they don't really want to do it anymore? If they sign up to be a volunteer, are they locked in, or can they say, this isn't for me, I thought it was, but it isn't, or I'm moving, or something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. They can choose to opt out of the program if after time they realize that it's not a good fit or there's other circumstances. We also have a policy for a leave of absence. If a volunteer gets ill or something is going on in their lives, that we can put them on a leave of absence if they don't want to leave the program but just need some time. So there's ways that we can work with our volunteers so they don't feel that they have to opt out.
And you're looking for volunteers currently, correct? Both of you?
Yes.
So, Maria, give me your territory. As I said before, you both running the roads all the time. Maria, I know you are always on the road, covering just an enormous area.
It is. Maine is a big state, but it feels like one big neighborhood, which is great. And Sonia and I collaborate really well. So I cover, it's probably easier to say what I don't cover. I cover 14 counties in Maine. So I cover everything but York and Cumberland. I do have a little bit of territory of the town of Brunswick, which Sonia and I, you know, figured out from way back that was negotiated. And she covers York and Cumberland and a little bit of Saco. So it's an interesting collaboration, and it's best for anyone to just call either one of us, and then we will be able to point you in the right direction.
And since you did that tease, I'm going to give the numbers right now. So grab a pencil and a piece of paper. I will give them again during the show later. But PennQuest is 1-800-215-4942. 1-800-215-4942. And the Opportunity Alliance, with Sonia is 1-877-429-6884. 877-429-6884. If you Google this, so what I did, because I like to make it as easy for listeners as possible and not give long, lengthy websites. So what I did, pull up your Google browser, type in Foster Grandparent Maine, and both programs will come right up immediately. So you are all set, and you can click on either one in your area, get more information. We are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will talk more about the Foster Grandparent Program and things that they do and things they can't do in the classroom. So stay with us. We'll be right back right after this. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk discussing the Foster Grandparent Program. The numbers to call if you have interest in this, if you're more south, you want to call the Opportunity Alliance. Talk to Sonia. She's lovely. 1-877-429-6884. 877-429-6884. That's more south. And then Maria, who covers 14 out of the 16 counties with PennQuest, is 1-800-215-4942. 800-215-4942. We have discussed what foster grandparents do. One-on-one support may help children with reading, may help them with math, just having that extra support in school or Head Start. What are they not allowed to do, or what do they don't do? There's quite a list of things that, so they don't, I mean, there's a lot that they will understand before they get into the classroom. They're very well prepared based on your training.
And they're very well supported by both of our agencies. And just like any program, there are prohibitive activities. And I guess I would want potential volunteers to know that they're really there to offer support and caring and guidance, and that they're never left alone. They're not responsible for things such as they would never serve as a teacher's aide. Like I said, their relationship would be one-on-one or in small groups, always supervised. They're not there to do, you know, photocopying or clerical work. They're there to be with the children. They would never transport a child. They don't have to give any type of medication. If we have several volunteers in one station, they're not supervising each other. That's up to Sonia and I to do that. As cute as the kids are, they would never take a child home. They might want to, but they're not going to do that.
Is and that a thing?
It could be. They love what they're doing. And, you know, so, you know, they can't, you know, drive a child home if the child doesn't have a ride, I guess is what I'd want to say.
Okay. And just like that sounds better.
That sounds better. And they would never give any type of religious instruction or engage in any type of political activity while they are serving. They don't serve as a babysitter. They would never discipline or punish a child in any way. They're not going to give referrals to other services, whether it's to medical providers. That's not their role. And they would never receive compensation for fee for services. They're there as part of our program. You know, they do receive the stipend. And these are all things that we, you know, we follow strictly, and that we are constantly reminding volunteers of, although it doesn't, you know, it's not a problem, and we want to keep it that way.
And I'm seeing on the list too, they wouldn't lift a child. So if a child wanted to climb up on their lap, I'm talking little kids, Head Start, is that okay? But they just can't pick that child up in case someone gets hurt. know,
I think
the
that is the reason I have that. I don't want them to lift anything that if it's going to be detrimental to them, like you said, to hurt their back. What we tell our volunteers is there may be two different rules. A foster grandparent may have one rule and the station has another. How do you know what to follow? We always tell them to follow the stricter rule. So that's a good example. If PENQUIS or Opportunity Alliance says it's okay to give a child a hug, but the school says, no, you just do a high five, then that's what they do. You know, and the other way around, if the school says you can take 2 hours and go copy the parent handbook, but PENQUIS and Opportunity Alliance says your service is to be directly with the children, then you don't do that. And whenever they have a question, they always reach out to us. And like we said, we are in contact with them through monthly in-service meetings and trainings.
Okay. And it says you can't receive compensation for service from beneficiaries. So if a mom there's no tipping. So if a parent says, you're just great, I want to buy you this present, or here's a little extra pocket money, that's not okay.
That's not allowed. Correct.
Right.
On that other side of things, some people love to bake. And so can a foster grandparent bring food into the classroom? I know that can be tricky with allergies and whatnot. So,
yeah, I think to that point, we kind of have volunteers be very careful about that and really have that conversation with the teacher if it's appropriate. But you certainly don't want to have any negative impact to doing something so kind.
I don't know if people today... I've kind of heard this from older people, if they fully understand the dangers of peanut allergy, because it seems like peanut allergies are now more prevalent and more severe than when I was a child. No one ever heard of it when I was a kid. And now sometimes just the smell of a peanut butter sandwich can send a child into to shock. So it's probably best that they don't. And you don't know, I don't even want to say this, but I will, you don't even know the condition of the kitchen. I'm telling you, if I made cookies, I'm going to guess there's going to be cat hair in it. I'm not proud of it, but there you go. So you want to be really sure about that. Let's talk numbers of how many foster grandparents there are in the state who are currently serving children. Maria, you go first.
Yeah, so for PENQUIS, the program year that ended June 30th, I had 46 volunteers serving 29,300 hours. And, you know, we'd like to have more than that. So we're hoping that your listeners will give us a call and we can talk more about the program. I'm happy to say that they did serve 164 children, supporting our objectives, like we said, of the school readiness and K-12 success. But the other interesting thing is supervisors reported that another 903 children were impacted by having that foster grandparent at the site. So that's the foster grandparent who is at the door greeting the kids come into school, setting the tone for the day, saying goodbye when they get on the bus. They're impacting even the ones that are not on their volunteer assignment plan.
You never know the impact you're going to make. Sonia, what about you? I bet your numbers are just as impressive, although your area is smaller.
Yeah, so for York and Cumberland County, we have 57 foster grandparents who served over 35,000 hours by the end of, we end on June 30th as well, in line with Maria. We had 125 students that were directly impacted and over 1,400 students who were indirectly impacted just by being in the classroom or, like Maria said, greeting them at the door.
Those are incredible numbers. I can't even imagine how those children, when they leave, what they're feeling. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we will talk more with foster grandparent. I do want to say, since we discussed stipend, that it does not impact any of your other benefits. If you get LIHEAP or SNAP or any of that, the money that you make from foster grandparent will not impact any of your government benefits. Stay with us. We'll be right back right after this. There is much more to come. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk, talking about foster grandparent program. Again, get your pencil, 1-800-215-4942 is PENQUIS, and 1-877-429-6884 is the Opportunity Alliance, or open Google, type in Foster Grandparent Maine. Both of these organizations will come right up and you will be all set. Just follow the breadcrumbs and you'll get there. I wanted to talk about, before we get into some of the anecdotes, because that is my favorite part of, because I've heard a lot from Marge, but how long does someone need to volunteer? I mean, in hours like per week. They can't go in and just do an hour a week like some volunteer opportunities.
Correct. We like to have them, make a commitment at least for the school year when they first come into the program. That being said, life happens and things change as we understand that. But the guidelines are you have to do 260 hours annually. So that would break down to 5 hours a week if you're in a year-round program. But as we mentioned, a lot of our volunteers are in a school-based, so they're off for the summer. So I like to have at least 10 to 15 hours commitment. And I think that's how you really develop that relationship with the students and have that continuity of service.
Can you break that up in any way that you and the school would want to, so they could do 5 hours a day for 2 days or 2 hours a day for 5 days? Is that up to the school and the volunteer? Sonia, do you want to take that one?
Typically, the volunteer would talk with the teacher and figure out what would be the best times that would really impact the students. And so they come up with a schedule, and then we just make sure that we document what their schedule is, so we know what days they're going to be in the classroom.
Given the climate that we're in, what if something happens to a volunteer? Let's say a child is having a tantrum and they just kind of sock them. What, because kids do, or could. What happens in that case? Is there any mechanism? Do they just tell the teacher, who probably would have witnessed it anyway? But what's the protocol there?
Both Sonia and I, in our orientation and in our in-service meetings, would instruct our volunteers that if anything like that happens, yes, immediately they tell the teacher. They need to also let us know what's happening. We'll hope that it's just a one-time incident, but if it's something that we need to get involved with, we will set up a meeting with the volunteer and the school and see what we can do to make sure that doesn't happen again. And of course, any accident, falls, or anything like that, we need to know that immediately. I also want to add that although they're volunteers, they are to follow mandated reporter laws. So, should a child disclose anything to them, again, immediately tell their station supervisor. And then they're immediately going to tell Sonia and I, who then are going to, do diligent our due diligence and make sure that that is addressed and reported if need be.
That is a really good point, because if a child gets really close to them and feels safe with them, they could do that. Let's go down the story road, because I love hearing about the impact. It's Joe. It's honestly, it's so joyful to know the impact and how happy everybody is, and we all need that. So, either one of you can start off and tell me your stories of these wonderful volunteers.
Yes, this is our favorite part too, Carol. Every year we do satisfaction surveys with the volunteers, and I wanted to, let you know that 100% of our volunteers said they're definitely satisfied with being with the foster grandparent program. 91% said that since they started volunteering, their quality of life is improved and they feel a sense of accomplishment. And going back to that stipend, for my people, and it may be higher for Sonia's, 82% stated that the stipend helps them make ends meet. But the real reason they're doing it is because of that connection and the feeling that it gives them. I have a volunteer who sent me this statement, and she said, "Maybe I can instill in them the love of learning, the beauty of words, the rhythm of mathematics, and the mystery of the future to be figured out by studying the past." That's just an amazing, amazing quote that I received from her. Another one that really touched me is from a gentleman who said, "I'm presently residing in an elderly and disabled housing where children are rarely present. The laughter of the young playing and running is never seen. Volunteering in grade school teaches me about the young of today, who it so happens are totally different from when I was a child. They are savvy and quick to learn, and sometimes they're relieved to have an older person on whom they can depend when help is needed. As I age, I'm in hopes that I may be of service to children who may need me and my help in the coming years. Rest assured that I need them as much as they need me. It keeps me hopping, healthy, and wise in my service to children. And please don't forget those great and dedicated teachers."
That is so fabulous. And it reminded me, it's true. The kids will teach them as well. My mother had a problem with her phone, and one of the little kids said, "Oh, I can fix that, Grammy," and fixed her phone for her. I told her how to pull something up. So I thought that was just so funny, because they're all like born with phones in their hands. Sonia, do you have, we're almost out of time, but do you have stories that really touched your heart and just make you happy to go to work?
Absolutely. I have more than one, but due to time, I'll reduce that. But I have one quote from a volunteer that since starting volunteering, so much has changed for the better in my life. Three youngsters come to mind. They need and love me, give me hugs, and almost knock me over. Their reading has improved. One little boy doesn't like to read, but he will read with me.
That is so sweet.
It's just so sweet. And another story, which just fills my heart, was a volunteer had come to me, and there was a student that came into the class. She was a new Mainer. She was very disengaged. She didn't speak. She stayed to herself. And little by little, the volunteer would just very gradually kind of approach her. By the end of the year, she was hugging the volunteer. She was engaged with other students. She was reading. She was writing. It was just 100% turnaround in a school year.
That is a testament to the work that you guys do. And if you're listening, really, and you're looking for a volunteer opportunity, this is the one. Again, the numbers to call are PENQUIS 1-800-215-4942 and the Opportunity Alliance 1-877-429-6884. Maria Staples, Sonia Thibault, thank you so much for being here and sharing this program with me. I really appreciate it. You're welcome back anytime. And Sonia, we'll talk at some point. Call me about the Senior
Okay.
Companion Program. That's it for me. This is Senior Talk. Thank you so much for listening.